Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And, well, there's a few current events that probably are just crying out to be discussed in light of God's Word this evening. So we'll probably get to some of that here tonight. But give us a call, 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to come on the air this evening. Lord, we want to thank you. And we know that even though the world around us seems to be going further and further away from you, and our country seems to be jettisoning its Christian foundations at a rapid rate, we know that you still have a plan. You still have a purpose for us to be here. Bless now. Use us for your glory tonight. Help us to be able to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. And help us to encourage somebody through your word this evening. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to the program tonight. And, you know, it's just so many things going on. It's hard to believe that so much can happen in 1 week, I guess. It's just absolutely amazing between the Obamacare being upheld once more by Chief Justice Roberts, and then, of course, Friday's bombshell with the same-sex marriage endorsement across, it's more than an endorsement. It's basically now made it the law of the land across the country, and certainly there's quite a number of things going on. And then this coming week certainly is full of all kinds of things that are coming up. We've certainly got the treaty coming up with Iran. I guess the deadline for that's supposed to be happening on Tuesday. The Greek economic situation that's about to implode. You know, all these things happen. Threat of terror attack. Great many people who are well informed say that the terror threat is probably highest that they've seen even before 9/11. And then now, of course, on the heels of the terrorist attacks that just shocked the world this past Friday, of course, the one in France, the attack in Tunisia, and then of course the attack on the Shiite mosque in Kuwait. And of course all of those, the common denominator there is they were all ISIS or Islamic State inspired events. And certainly you have the coming together of Ramadan, the one-year anniversary of the Islamic State declaration of a caliphate, and then, of course, with our 4th of July celebrations coming up. And the Islamic State has been very, very forceful in encouraging people to conduct various jihad attacks. And I saw a graph earlier today on the news while my wife and I were eating, and there was a interview on the news at the time. They showed a graph how that in the past few years, the last 5 years in particular, the number of terror attacks has just skyrocketed compared to what it had been doing. And then, of course, also they've already arrested in the United States alone more people who they were worried about conducting terrorist attacks or who were trying to conduct terrorist attacks than in the previous 2 years combined. And so we've got all these things coming. And in the midst of that, you know, the Supreme Court drops this bombshell on same-sex marriage. Now, I was talking at church Friday night about this, talking on our Friday radio program as well. I encourage you, if you have the opportunity, and you can go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. That's the website for our radio program. And amongst other things there, you can find past programs. And I know some of you are in an area where you do not get our Friday afternoon program. We have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock on the local station AM 1220 The Word in Northeast Ohio, out of Independence, Ohio. And we addressed this quite a bit. Had three callers talking about the Supreme Court's rulings on same-sex marriage. And I said that I would talk about it some more tonight, because there's just so much to cover with this. And again, as I said, you can weigh in on this evening. And or if you've got a question about something else in the Bible or other current events in light of God's Word, let me encourage you to give us a call. You can call, lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 is our toll-free number there. And number of the justices that dissented on this opinion, the four conservative justices, and I've been saying all along that I believe that it was going to be a 5-4 vote. I just wasn't sure which way it would go, whether it would be 5-4-4 or 5-4 against. And of course, it was 5-4 vote for same-sex marriage, or depending on how you look at it, I guess 5-4 vote against traditional marriage. But Justice Samuel Alito, he said that Friday's decision shows that decades of attempts to restrain this court's abuse of its authority have failed. A lesson that some will take from today's decision is that preaching about the proper method of interpreting the Constitution or the virtues of judicial self-restraint and humility cannot compete with the temptation to achieve what is viewed as a noble end by any practicable means. And, you know, he's talking about how we have some justices that, and this reflects judges as well in the federal courts and state courts, that want to legislate from the bench rather than simply conduct their constitutional responsibility of judging as to the constitutionality of these laws that come before them, these cases that come before them. And Justice Clarence Thomas, he also said, had the majority allowed the definition of marriage to be left to the political process, as the Constitution requires, the people would have considered the religious liberty implications of deviating from the traditional definition as part of their deliberative process. Instead, the majority's decision short-circuits that process with potentially ruinous consequences for religious liberty. That was Justice Thomas. And again, that's part of it right there. We've got an oligarchy now in charge of the country, basically. What the Congress and the Senate have to say or do is essentially it's immaterial. And even the president, with his pen and his executive orders, is almost immaterial. It's whatever the justices want. And that's not what was originally set up in this country. The justices were not supposed to be legislating from the bench. In fact, the majority of the states that have voted on whether or not to accept same-sex marriage have almost invariably voted to uphold traditional marriage, biblical marriage, the idea of a man and a woman. Now, there are some states that have upheld same-sex marriage, but generally speaking, it was because a judge overruled the will of the people and instituted it despite the vote. California is a particularly egregious example of that overruling the will of the people. Chief Justice John Roberts, he wrote this. He said, one immediate question invited by the majority position is whether states may retain the definition of marriage as the union of two people. Now, let me interrupt his writing here. This is something that I've said all along. If you are going to change the definition of marriage, if you're going to say that the only important thing, as the liberal wing of the court said, is that people love each other, then how in the world can you limit it to just two people? What if you have three people? What if you have four people? What if you have a half a dozen people that all want to marry each other? I'll guarantee that there are Mormons who are already trying to get this through to legalize now polygamy in the United States of America. Well, let's continue on with Chief Justice Roberts' writing here. He said, if a same-sex couple has a constitutional right to marry because their children would otherwise suffer the stigma of knowing that their families are somehow lesser, why wouldn't the same reasoning apply to a family of three or more persons raising children? If not having the opportunity to marry serves to disrespect and subordinate gay and lesbian couples, why wouldn't the same imposition of this disability serve to disrespect and subordinate people who find fulfillment in polyamorous, that would be multiple marriage, polyamorous relationships? And really, how can you restrict this? Let me go one step further here. And this is coming along the way because they're saying that, you know, the same-sex marriages, the important thing is that people love one another. Well, let's leave the polygamy aside for the moment, and let's put out something here that would sound a little more distasteful. How about incestuous marriages? You say, well, Pastor Al, you're just completely off your rocker now. They would never try something like that. Oh, yeah? What if a brother and a sister, or I guess as somebody pointed out at church when we were talking about this today, two brothers or two sisters in that case, but we'll just keep it this way for the moment. What if a brother and sister say, well, listen, you know, we love each other. We've known each other all our lives. We're best friends. We love each other. We don't plan on having any children. So there's nothing to worry about having children that have, you know, possibly some kind of birth defect or something like that. We don't plan on having any children. We love each other. Who are you to disrespect our love for each other? How, with the rulings of the Supreme Court on Friday, are you going to say they cannot marry? How about this for an example? How about a man has an 18-year-old daughter and his wife passes away and he says, you know, my daughter looks just like my wife. And everything that I fell in love with my wife for, I see in my daughter and I love her. And she loves me. How can you say they can't get married using the decision of the Supreme Court? Well, how about this? Justice Anton Scalia, he wrote this. He said, nine men and women, all of them successful lawyers who studied at Harvard or Yale Law School, four of the nine are natives of New York City, eight of them grew up in East and West Coast states, only one hails from the vast expanse in between. That sounds like a pretty diverse group, doesn't it? Not a single Southwesterner, or even to tell the truth, a genuine Westerner. California does not count. Not a single evangelical Christian, a group that compromises about one quarter of Americans, or even a Protestant of any denomination. Yeah, I said that to one of our callers on Friday. Best of my knowledge, there is not one born-again Christian on the United States Supreme Court. And, you know, where's our representation? Well, here's the thing. We do have the potential for this thing spiraling. Let me put it this way. Rather than saying spiraling, I think we have gone over the precipice and we're now on the downward slide. And this is not boding well. And to see the United States, the White House, the People's House of the United States, in that sense, lit up with the colors of the gay pride flag was just, to me, a disgrace. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got Fran on the line. And, Fran, welcome to the program tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, good evening.
I'm calling in about the gay marriage thing. I think that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a judgment. of God coming against America.
Well, we've certainly
I think that's why we have ISIS and all the other bad groups that are trying to, because we went too far killing babies, you know, like in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, too.
Yes. Well, we've certainly departed biblical morality here.
Uh-huh.
So
I signed petitions against that type of thing.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said?
No, I said I signed petitions against gay marriages. And,
well,
you know, and we had a church group and went around and I signed it. I'm definitely against that.
Well, it's important for Christians to get their voice heard. We still live in a semi-free country. We still have, at least so far, long enough to have a little bit of free speech. I saw something on a friend of mine's Facebook page, and somebody was posting against this, and somebody who sympathized with same-sex marriage said, basically said that they didn't like what they said, and they shouldn't say that because they found it offensive, and voiced that they were for same-sex marriage. And I responded back saying, well, I don't like what you said, and you shouldn't have said that because I found it offensive because I speak out in favor of traditional marriage. And, you know, the Constitution does not give us the right to not be offended, that we have free speech. And yeah, Fran, you need to be out there speaking. You need to be out there advocating for your values.
Right. And like I said, we lead to others. I mean, even animal bestiality with people is horrible. I mean, I can't believe how people are so really asking for God's judgment in America.
Well, it's one thing when these things take place and perhaps aren't prosecuted, but it's another thing when it gets the official stamp of approval by the government. And
yes.
And that's where the government now has really completely rejecting its original biblical founding positions.
All right. How about the judges? We can get rid of the judge somehow.
There is the potential of impeachment of federal judges and even Supreme Court judges, a very hard thing to do. The best way to replace judges on the courts is to elect God-fearing, godly people, people who believe. If we got rid of the judges that are there now, President Obama would be the one who would nominate replacements. And, of course, think of Justice Kagan. Repeated over and over, and Sotomayor repeated over and over. We need to get together, and as I've said before, if Christians would simply do something as simple as make sure that starting this fall, I know it's not a presidential election this fall, but there are elections in your local communities this fall, and then there's primary elections next spring. And then the presidential election in just over a year. Christians need to register to vote. Every evangelical Christian, every conservative Christian, every fundamental Bible-believing Christian out there should make sure that, one, they personally are registered to vote. And then they should make sure that their fellow church members are registered to vote. And then don't just register, get out there and vote. What was it, 20 million, I think it was, evangelical Christians did not vote in the last presidential election. That's just plain sad. And if we don't vote, we can't complain because we're allowing the unsaved part of our country to elect the people that they want rather than Christians exercising their God-given mandate to be salt and light in the society around them, to go out and campaign for and do what they can to help elect godly candidates, people who reflect their values. The last two presidential elections, I had people who listen to this program for a number of years, know that we had callers who called both in 2008 and 2012 saying, my church is pro-life. My church is for traditional marriage. My church is against special rights for homosexuals. How come my pastor is telling me to vote for a candidate that's against our values? And that's sad when pastors are doing that. But if Christians in this country would wake up, get registered to vote, get out to the polls, vote in every election, and then take it a step further, get involved in your local county in local government politics whenever you can. Run for city council, run for mayor, run for dog catcher, run for school board, run for the water board, whatever it might be. Get involved in the county political party. You can change things still while we still have a chance. Hey, we may have passed the point of no return. We may be at the point where God's judgment is coming and the Lord's soon return is coming, but we don't know that for sure. We need to do what we can. God put us here at this time in history for a reason. Hope that helps you out a little bit there.
Oh, Pam. Yeah. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, don't be discouraged. Look up for your redemption draw tonight.
So soon, amen. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Fran. We've got Ben calling in tonight. Ben, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al. Thanks for taking my call. Now, wasn't it Thomas Jefferson or George Washington that said the Constitution was just written for a moral and just people and for no, it's suited for no other peoples or something like that?
Yeah, that one of the founding fathers had done that. I don't know if it was Jefferson. It might have been Adams, Samuel Adams or John Adams.
So effectively, isn't it, hasn't it been almost a lawless state of being, effectively like on the shelf for quite a while, decades, years, whatever?
Yeah, and basically that's the fault of Christians, because unfortunately there is a time when Christians were very involved in the founding of our country. Born-again Christians were very involved. Pastors actually went out and joined the Continental Army and led members of their church, and they led their church in prayer. Throughout the 1800s, when the Capitol building was built, for instance, there were church services held every Sunday morning, I think up until about the 1870s or something like that. And when you look at this stuff, Christians once were very involved in the government. But then in the middle of the last century, 40s, 50s, somewhere in that time frame, Christians started getting out of involvement with government. They began to view politics as dirty and unseemly, and churches began to buy into the propaganda that they should not be involved in politics, not be involved in elections. And as Christians began backing out of the electoral process, we began elect, and there's always been bad people that have been elected before. I don't think the 1800s was any special time in regards to that. But people tended to at least have a biblical, viewpoint, worldview.
And one thing about the marriage licenses, that was actually started as part of the eugenics movement.
Oh yeah.
And then this Supreme Court ruling, I think the communist thing or whatever said this homosexual marriage thing is a way to reduce the population. So
it absolutely is.
It starts as eugenics. So you see that in the 60s and with the manifesto or whatever, and then it goes on from there.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. You're talking about eugenics and such. Not Planned Parenthood was started by Margaret Sanger to release or to reduce the population of what she called human weeds. And basically anybody with a black or brown skin, she considered a human weed. You know, people with darker skin, Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, considered them human weeds that needed to be eliminated. And that's wrong. We're all people. We're all of one blood, the Bible says.
Right.
And then what you said about reducing the population, when I went to Colorado State, I went to school with people who bought into this nonsense that the world's population needs to be reduced to no more than 500 million. And usually they won't tell you publicly 500 million. They'll usually say something like, a billion or maybe 2 billion, certainly not the, 7 billion or something now. But they really believe the population ought to be reduced to no more than 500 million. I guarantee you and I are not on the list of survivors. And one of the ways, there are three ways they've done this that I'll give you real quick, because I just got a few minutes before the break here. One way is through abortion. Getting abortion legalized has killed, just in this country, millions of people, but worldwide, probably hundreds of millions of people that have been killed in the last 50 years due to abortion. And then there's also another thing that they did. Despite scientific evidence to the contrary, and I've got a biology degree, and I've actually got a Bachelor of Science in Wildlife Biology with a minor in Botany from Colorado State University. So I know a little bit of what I'm talking about when I get into some of this. They came up with this nonsense that DDT was killing off the birds. Rachel Carlson's fake book, The Silent Spring, which I had, and it might still be in my garage somewhere, but she basically made up stuff and claimed that pesticides, chief among them DDT, was killing off the birds, and one day we wake up to a spring morning when there's no birds. And the first head of the EPA who succeeded in banning DDT against all scientific advice, because DDT was one of the best ways to control the mosquito population that was causing malaria that was killing millions of people in Africa. And because they banned DDT, millions across Africa have died that needed not to. And same-sex marriage, the third rung here. You're not going to have kids, are you?
Yeah,
no children.
Population.
Yeah, another way to reduce the population. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay. Take care,
stay tuned for the second half. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6555. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd Love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, of course, brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. And you can find out more about us, more about the church, and listen to past programs at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our Facebook page there if you're on Facebook. Take a look at that. You can like us on Facebook. And also a reminder that we're brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you are interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, why don't you give them a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get set up in your own pizza business without all those high franchise fees. And that's whether you're in Ohio or outside of Ohio. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. Or if you just want to buy a pizza, call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. All right, we're going to get back to our program, and we've got a couple calls waiting for us here tonight. And first up, we have Barb in West Virginia calling. Barb, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Oh, I got a comment, and I think you probably like it. I don't know. But Mr. Obama, I would have called him that,
mm-hmm.
was up there having a party with the gay folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, he's at the Methodist church singing Amazing Grace. I wanted to throw up.
Well, and then they went and turned the lights on the White House to the rainbow flag.
Oh, I wanted to throw up on that one, too.
Let me pause for just a minute and hold what you just thought. You know, if President Obama were to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Savior and confess his sin and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for his sin and turn to him in repentance and ask Jesus to save him, you know what? That song that he sang would suddenly ring true, wouldn't it? Amazing Grace. Remember what the song said, that saved a wretch like me. And that's what we need to pray for. We need to pray for our government leaders. We need to pray for these justices on the Supreme Court that they'll encounter God and they'll put their faith in Christ as their Savior.
Well, there's a scripture, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Be not deceived.
Oh, yeah. God is not mocked.
Amen.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll give you this here, Barb. In Luke chapter 17, the Bible gives us two things that Jesus said would be characteristics of the last days. Verse 26, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, which is Noah. Well, what was it like in the days of Noah? The imagination of every man's heart, remember, was continually given to evil. Wickedness, depravity of all kinds characterized that age. Hey, we're on the precipice sliding into that, aren't we? And then he says in verse number 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. So what were the days of Lot characterized by? Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't it?
That was awful.
And Jesus said this is going to be the characteristic of the last days.
About Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, days of Noah, days of Lot. Wickedness, depravity, homosexuality would be the order of the day. And a little later on in chapter 21, and I want to encourage you and encourage everybody that's listening, Jesus said, and he gave other examples of things that would indicate the return of Christ. And he said in chapter 21, verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads for your redemption draweth nigh. That was Luke 21, verse 28. And I take personally a lot of encouragement from that verse because I see these things happening. The slide into moral depravity, the abandonment of Israel and the Jewish people, the things, the way our world is going today.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that and I say, well, I don't like what's happening, but it's further indication that the return of the Lord is near.
The end time, yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's just sickening. And, I mean, there's no fear of God in them.
No.
They have no fear of God. And even the Muslims have no fear of God.
Well, you know, and ironically, in some senses, you could almost say, and it's a false god, Allah is a false god, obviously, but you could almost say they have a greater fear of their god than these people do of their false god.
Mm-mm-mm. We shall find out.
Oh, yeah.
Every knee shall bow.
Well, and it's also like our previous caller before the break was talking about how it's all part of the thing in reducing the population. And as
yeah, you know, my daddy saved the paperback, and I had it in his footlocker. My sister got it, but it talked about population management, and it was old paper. And I found it amazing. My dad was a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he would save that back, but it was in his footlocker, and it was just amazing.
Well, you know, we look at this, and the Bible tells us, you know, about things are going to get worse and worse, and we know the United States is not going to play a major role in end-time prophecies.
Mm.
So as a consequence, you know, we do expect that there's going to be some things, but it's not pleasant when you see these things happening. And you know, I was going to mention something, and I got other callers calling in, so I have to get to them. But let me just give an example of something we were talking about at church tonight. If you think about this, and going with the idea of population reduction and all, now anybody knows that I do not accept evolution, Darwinian evolution.
No.
I believe special creation, the biblical account, and all of that, and there's scientific reasons why I justify that, or why I believe that. But here's the thing: if evolution were true, the driving force for evolution is survival of the fittest. Meaning, whatever individuals in a population are the fittest are going to pass their genes on to the next generation. This is an inconvenient truth that the homosexuals don't like to acknowledge, or those that favor their activity. And this is homosexuals do not pass their genes to the next generation because they don't have children. You know, same-sex marriage, they're not going to have children.
No, that's
about it,
sure.
Way, survival of the fittest, according to Darwinian evolution, which is basically their religion, is that the survival of the fittest individuals in the population pass their genes on to the next generation. Those who are not fit, meaning there's something wrong with them, do not pass their genes on to the next generation.
They'd have to have test tube babies or something.
Well, exactly. But see, they're not passing their genes on effectively. And that would, by their own false religion of evolution, and it is a religious faith, really, when you get down to it. There's no real scientific evidence. But they're saying that they're not fit. There's something wrong as individuals within the population because they're not passing their genes down to the next generation. And
so that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so it doesn't make any sense from the evolutionary standpoint, and it's condemned in the Bible, so you cannot take a biblical standpoint to justify it.
Logical stance. So, doesn't even make logic.
No, from a logical perspective, it's not right biblically, and it's not right
scientifically and logically.
Yeah. So, at any rate, I appreciate your call tonight, Barbara.
Okay, brother. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. And we've got a couple more callers calling in. We've got John in Cleveland calling in. And, John, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
Good evening. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I had a question. The book of Hebrews, it says that the marriage bed should be honorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a single
person.
Well, it
says marriage is honorable in all. And what is it, Hebrews 13?
Right.
Give me just a moment here toward the end of Hebrews 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That's the verse in
right.
question.
I'm a single person. I've never asked this question to anybody. But I was wondering, is it possible for a married couple, a man and a woman, to do the same things that a homosexual does?
Well, I don't know exactly what we're getting into, but I would it's, you know, I'm not going to speculate too much. I guess we're not going to go there, because sexual relations outside of marriage in general are forbidden in the Bible. And this verse right here is not merely a condemnation of homosexual relationships. This verse is a condemnation sexual relations outside of the confines of marriage. And so it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. So a man and a woman who come together in marriage, the bed is undefiled. But a man and woman who are not married, the bed is defiled because they're committing fornication. Or a man who is married, who has an affair with some other woman, whether or not she's married, they're not married to each other, or vice versa, the bed is defiled in that case. This is simply a statement saying that the physical relationship in marriage is honorable in all. You have two consenting adults. They're married. They're one flesh as far as God is concerned. The bed is undefiled. However, if they're not married to each other, fornication, adultery, the bed is now undefiled. And then he says, but whoremongers and adulteresses God will judge. And that's the same sentence. The sentence does not end with undefiled. There's a colon there, and it says, but whoremongers. So that would be people who commit fornication. They're committing fornication. They're engaging in sexual relations without the benefit of marriage. Those are whoremongers. And adulterers, those are ones who are violating marriage vows. And it says God will judge them. It's clearly condemned. And so that's the purpose of Hebrews 13, verse 4, a defense of marriage and a condemnation of extramarital affairs or relations. All right. Well, on to our next caller. We have Tim in Cleveland calling. And, Tim, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you
welcome
doing?
To the program.
Hello.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Okay. I just wanted to talk about the Harbinger. I don't know if you...
Yes, I read the book. Yeah, he makes some good points in there. It's a little repetitive in his writing style, because he repeats himself as he writes in order to reinforce his points while repeating himself. And so he does repeat himself several times as he repeats himself. But that's my biggest complaint with the book.
he comes across, I mean, he really gets the point he's trying to make. But I was just watching him. I guess, did you know about the two cows that were born on the Shemitah with the number 7?
I've read the book, and it's been a little while since I read it. I don't remember all the details, but
it had nothing to do with the cows, because then he wrote another book called the Shemitah. Because after the Harbinger, we're supposed to be under the curse of the Shemitah.
Right, because we had the economic collapse in 2001 after 9/11. I forget what that day is. It's a specific day in the Jewish calendar. And then exactly 7 years later, in 2008, we had the bottom fall out of the housing market, and we had one of the biggest financial crashes since the Great Depression. And this September, I believe, I forget exactly again which the date is on the Jewish calendar, what it corresponds to on our calendar, but I believe it's in September, will be the exactly 7 years later again. And I believe that he's predicting some kind of financial irregular collapse potentially at that time.
Well, yeah, he said that. That was the collapse of September 2008 was the releasing of the debt, like the curse of the Shemitah.
Right, right.
But this new one is that the cow, I guess the cow in Pittsburgh was born with a number 7 on its forehead.
Now, I'm not familiar with that one, I don't think.
Okay, and then it was a regular cow, but then there was another cow that was born in Texas on the day of the Shemitah with a small seven. And he's saying, just like the story of Joseph,
mm-hmm.
where God sent judgment with the cows, or, you know, the king had that.
Right, the seven lean years and seven, or seven
yeah.
prosperous years and then seven lean years.
Yeah, he said that judgment's coming to the United States now.
Well, and even without that, we can certainly tell from the Bible that judgment is coming. If you like following that sort of thing, there's a book, I don't know if you've seen, are you familiar with John McTernan and As America Has Done to Israel?
No, no.
Look that book up. It's excellent as well. And you will find some amazing things in there that correlate to our attempts to pressure Israel into dividing the land in the past. And one that I like to throw out periodically when talking about this is when President George W. Bush pressured Israel to give up the Gaza Bank, the Gaza Strip there, when they forced out the last of the settlers in the Gaza Strip, the last of the Jewish settlers, there was a tropical depression forming in the South Atlantic Ocean, and meteorologists said, well, we don't think this is going to amount to anything, but if it does, we'll call it Katrina.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And the largest pro-Nazi rally outside of Germany was held on Long Island in the 1936 or 38 or somewhere in there, maybe about 38 or so. And McTernan in his book points out how there was this incredible storm that came ashore so fast that with the telegraphs and things, they could not warn people fast enough. And it came ashore and went dead center across the site of that where that Nazi rally had been held. Incredible things. And also President H.W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, the first President Bush, when he called for the two-state division of the land. The Bible said, or I'm sorry, not the Bible, but there was a storm that was out in the Atlantic that turned around, went backwards about 1,000 miles, and struck dead center in Kennebunkport, Maine, and destroyed President Bush's house. And then here's another example I can throw out for you. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the 30s said when they were talking about a Jewish state forming in the Middle East, he said the United States would never recognize a Jewish state. Well, about a week later, he was suddenly struck dead, and President Truman became president, and I said 1930s, 1940s, and then President Truman became president, and in 1948, when the Jewish state was formed, President Truman, against the advice of all of his advisors, recognized the new state of Israel. And he did that because it was either his father or his grandfather, I believe was a Baptist pastor, who said that there was going to be a Jewish state there in the latter days. And, you know, you tie all these things together, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it's the way he says we're on the same path as the Israel nation, and when everything lines up, like, you know,
yeah.
I learned a lot of history just reading and then finding out, you know, what we did. We followed the same thing that Israel did.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, let me encourage you. Go online. You could probably Google the name John McTernan or As America Has Done to Israel. You'll find it on Amazon or something like that. And
okay.
You'll find that interesting. I encourage our listeners to look up that book. He's got a website. I'm not sure what the name of his website is. It may be something as simple as johnmcturnan.com or something, but I'm not sure. I may have a link to it on our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, somewhere, if you check that out. But, yeah, John
okay.
McTernan, As America.
I appreciate
Has Been
that.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it.
Okay. And isn't it funny how they have that gay stuff there using the rainbow?
Yeah.
The rainbow, doesn't the rainbow signify judgment from God?
Well, no, actually, That's, you bring up an excellent point there, and I know we just got a few minutes left in the program here tonight, but the rainbow was given by God in Genesis chapter 9, and it's interesting, the rainbow was a symbol of God's mercy that he would no longer bring the judgment of a worldwide flood, and that when there was a storm, he would see the rainbow in the sky, and it would be a reminder that God was not going to bring that judgment, that particular judgment on the world again. And I look at it this way. It's as if they took the sign that essentially represented God's grace and mercy and made a mockery of it, in a sense shaking it in God's face, making it a symbol of pride in their sin and iniquity.
Yeah, that's why I think, you know, like my one minister said, he said that if God doesn't bring judgment on this country, then he do have to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. And I've heard that
bring a judgment on them for the same thing.
Oh, yeah. And that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's why Jesus said in the latter days it would be as it was in the days of Lot. And we are reaching that point. You're fast approaching that time frame. So, hey, I want to thank you for the call tonight. And I think we lost our caller there. There's a little staticky there at the end, so we must have lost him. But I appreciate our call there. And again, I want to thank our callers here tonight. And I do want to encourage you, you know, as I was sharing with our church today, and we need to remember that God is still there. He's put us in the world at this time. We were not born at this time by accident. God has a plan. He has a purpose for our life. And he put us in the world at this time. We may be living in, and I believe we are living in the last days. And we don't know when the Lord's return is coming. We do see the United States moving further and further into or away from biblical morality. We do see this rejection of God in our country, and it's been happening in the world. And as an aside there, we were talking about this saying that most of the rest of the world has seen much worse than what we've seen in this past week with the recognition of same-sex marriage. It's recognized in many other countries around the world. Most of the rest of the world has been committing abortions for many, many years, and in some cases far more, such as in communist China, places like that, in Russia, especially during the old days of the Soviet Union, much more than what we've been doing. But here's the thing. Our country was founded on biblical morality. They weren't. Our country has been given much by God, and to whom much is given, much is required. We are turning our back on what God has given to us as a nation, as a people. The United States is not a major player in the end time events. So we are going to see the United States disappear slowly from the world scene, or quickly. I don't know which, but we're here for a time to be witnesses, to point people to Christ. Let me encourage you. Look up. Lift up your eyes, as Jesus said, for your redemption draweth nigh. Make a difference. Get involved. Do what you can to make a difference in the world around you. Don't give up. Don't hide. Be a witness. Now's the time to let your light shine more than ever. God bless. Join us again next week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.